Good morning and Happy New Year. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Pastor Carroll, it's great to have you doing the pastoral prayer again this morning. We were blessed to see you down at that microphone doing that. And glad that you're feeling better. We've prayed for you in recent days. Speaking about praying for the sick in our congregation, and there are a number of people that are sick in our congregation. They're really very sick. But I just want us also to be mindful of our dear sister back there in the back, Marcy Braun. Marcy's struggling and in really tough ways these days, physically as well. We want to add her to that list of people that we're remembering to pray for on a regular basis as well. And also just one more thing, so it won't be like a shameless pastoral plug, because it's not a shameless pastoral plug. Just remember, we have a great time of teaching before this hour every Lord's Day, and we were blessed this morning. Weren't we blessed this morning by Nate Ellis's ministry to us in the Word? That's why I'm saying it's not a shameless pastor plug, because I'm talking about Nate. But be mindful of that. If you love hearing the Word of God preached and taught, and know that you need to grow and change in understanding better the Christian life and the will of God and theology and all those kind of things, we have classes for children and classes for adults here prior to this meeting every week. And we would love for you to take advantage of that time as well in God's Word together. Well, let's turn then this morning in God's Word to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read the first 9 verses. If it's been a while since you've turned to the book of Joshua, find it the 6th book in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, followed by Judges. So sandwiched in between Deuteronomy and Judges, Joshua chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 9. And once again, before we read this passage, let's ask for God's blessing as we come to his word this morning. Lord, you are the God of heaven and earth, the eternal God who rules over heaven and earth. You are sovereign in all your ways. You are good. We thank you that not in short order, but in large order, not in ways that are sparse, but in ways that are abundant, you speak to us. And you speak to us through your word. So God of heaven, would you bless the preaching and the hearing of your holy word? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Are these not precious and very great promises that should have generated unwavering confidence in the people of God? In this passage, God is once again promising to take Israel into the promised land under the new leadership of Joshua. You'll remember sort of the sad history. As a people, Israel had spent 400 years enslaved in Egypt. After being freed by God from Egypt, they then spent 40 years in wilderness wanderings because of a refusal to trust and obey God and to enter the land 40 years earlier. And as God had promised, during the 40 years of wilderness wanderings, all the people who were 20 years old and older had died in the wilderness. And now a new generation is now receiving the precious and very great promises of God that they will enter into the promised land. Now, if you will, please, jump over a couple of chapters to Joshua chapter 3. We're going to read verses 2 through 4, where the people of Israel get, as it were, their specific marching orders to go into the new or to go into the promised land. So Joshua 3, beginning at verse 2. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out for your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length, about a half of a mile. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." The people of Israel were instructed to keep their eye fixed on the Ark of the Covenant carried by the priest and to follow it into the promised land. Now, you remember the Ark of the Covenant, of course, was the national treasure of Israel. It was that sacred golden chest that resided in the Holy of Holies. It was the national symbol for Israel of God's presence with them, God's promises to them, God's provision for them. It was considered to be the earthly throne of God that should cause them to remember his heavenly, eternal, sovereign throne. The Ark of the Covenant was covered by the mercy seat, that place where the blood of the annual atoning sacrifice was sprinkled for their forgiveness of sins. It contained the two tablets of the law that God had given to Moses to serve as a perpetual reminder that God would give to them through his law daily guidance, daily instruction and direction. It also contained the rod of Aaron, which was a symbol of them, of God's protection and power and sovereign will. We're specifically told in Numbers chapter 17, verse 10, that the rod of Aaron was placed in the ark as a reminder for the people of Israel not to grumble and complain against God's sovereign will. It also contained the golden pot of manna as a perpetual reminder of the promise of God's grace and provision to them in their time of need. The people are told to follow the Ark of the Covenant because that's what will lead them. We read in verse 4, they're to keep their eyes on it and follow it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. As they crossed the Jordan River into unknown and uncharted territory, their confidence was not that they were following some inanimate box. Their confidence was that they were being led by their faithful covenant God with the ever-present reminders of his promises, his power, and his provisions for them. And with this, they were going to unknown territory. They could go into that territory with confidence. Confidence in God. In the year 1860, Pastor Octavius Winslow used this very passage to preach a New Year's sermon to his congregation. He titled that sermon, "Untried, Untrodden, Unknown, You Have Not Passed This Way Before." Meaning that the new year of 1860 for his congregants was similar to Israel's journey into the promised land. His congregation had not passed that way before. If your memory is pretty keen, you remember I've bounced off this idea of Pastor Winslow in years gone by. I want to do that again this morning as we enter into 2026 and we enter untried, untrodden, unknown territory, because we've not passed this way before. To state something as obvious as the nose on my face, in the past, even in this past year, great people have accomplished great things. But again, to say something as obvious as the nose on my face, but not a single human being has ever trodden the path of time that is before us in this new year. Let me mention this quote to you from Pastor Octavius Winslow. "How solemn is the reflection that with a new year, that with a new year begins a new untrodden path for each traveler to heaven. How truly may it be said of the Christian pilgrim journeying to his eternal home as he stands upon the threshold of this untried period of his existence, pondering the unknown and uncertain future, you have not passed this way before." So I'd like to think about this under 2 points this morning. First point, in 2026, there is a future of unknown uncertainties. But secondly, in 2026, we can be confident that there is a future of known certainties. There's a future of unknown uncertainties, and there's a future of known certainties. Let's cover that first point, that in 2026, there's a future of unknown uncertainties. New events that have never happened before, obviously. New events in history will transpire this year. I suspect many of those will be favorable events. But I suspect also some of them will be less favorable events. But we don't know what those are, for we've not passed this way before. This year, new, never written chapters of history will be written and recorded that those in the future will look back and read as history. We don't know what those are. I've been told that 2026 will be the year, I don't know for sure, but I've been told it's the year that AI will expand and explode. And that itself is new mysterious territory in and of itself. In terms of the political scene in our country and in our world, who knows how that's all going to shake out? We just don't know, for we've never passed this way before. Brand new scenes in our lives and in the landscape of our lives are going to unfold this year. You can count on it. Just as Pastor Justin said earlier, there were things that were true, you know, at the beginning of last year that changed. And this is going to be the same way this year. The landscape of our lives, it's going to change. It might change in minor ways. We might have a little less hair and a little more weight. Or maybe we'll have a little more hair and a little less weight. But the landscape of our lives is going to change in major ways. Some of you are going to have started to school this year for the first time in your life. On the other hand, some of you are going to graduate from high school or college, and that's going to be brand new territory, territory you've never walked in before. Some of us may get engaged. this year. That's going to change things. Maybe somebody will get married. That'll change things. New babies. We've had new babies last year. We'll have new babies. Jane and I are expecting a brand new grandchild in February. We had two grandchildren this last year. Another one in February coming down the way. It might be that ominous diagnosis. As I stand here this morning before you, I'm personally waiting for the results of a biopsy that was taken just before Christmas. We don't know. Maybe, again, as Pastor Justin noted earlier, maybe some people with us today will not be with us this time next year. If you'd asked me on this day last year, if you'd asked me on January the 4th last year, Donnie, do you think you'll bury two of your siblings this year? I said, well, I mean, anything's possible, but I wasn't counting on it, but sure enough, a brother and a sister who were alive on this day last year. The simple point is that our lives and the landscapes of our lives will look different. We don't know how, because we've not passed this way before. But new stages of life will be entered into this year. Here's something for sure. Nobody in this room will stay the same. It's not going to happen. New stages of life will be entered into. Little Luke's going to leave the infant stage to the toddler stage. Right? And there'll be some that will leave the toddler stage and go into the childhood stage. There'll be some that will leave the childhood stage and go into that teenage, adolescent stage. Some will leave the adolescent stage and move into adulthood and start a career that'll be a brand new territory for you. Some of us will leave adulthood and enter middle age. Maybe begin to think about retirement. And a few of us will continue to walk into the steps of old age. But nobody's going to stay the same. This year in 2026, you can count on new temptations will arise in your life. New temptations will possibly assault you. And again, that stands to reason. You haven't walked but only 4 days, and you don't know what temptations are out there. But you may face new temptations. For some of you in this year, you may be away from home for the first time in your life. College dorm room, living on your own, with a whole new set of temptations. For some, you may experience some new freedoms. You've just gotten a little older and your parents have given you some new freedoms, and those new freedoms may lead to some new temptations. You might encounter some new friends, maybe some new coworkers at a new job, or you may face new temptations. Some of you now for the first time, mom and dad are going to say, okay, it's time for you to have those terrible, wonderful things we call cell phones. For some of you, you've ever had one of those on your own. Maybe a new access to computers. Maybe you're going to have a car. Never had that before. Where there'll be new temptations. We don't know what those are because we had never passed this way before. New trials. By new trials, I mean new trials, new tests will be experienced. You can mark it down. There are going to be new trials you've never experienced. Again, it stands to reason. There's no way you can experience the trials that are going to come your way this year because you haven't been this way before. New test of your faith. New test of your faithfulness, new test of your character. And we do not know what that may mean for us, but we have never passed this way before. And I fully suspect if this year is like other years in our lives, I fully suspect new sorrows will be felt. Sorrows you've never felt before. The unexpected loss of some possession. The unexpected loss of something dear and precious to you. Maybe the loss of a job. Maybe the loss of your health. Maybe the loss of a loved one. We don't know. For we have never passed this way before. But let me just quickly come behind that one and say something on a very positive note as we think about the unknown uncertainties of 2026. I'm also certain of this, that new blessings beyond anything you could ever ask for, think about, or ever deserved will be experienced because you're a believer in Christ. You're going to experience new blessings like never before this year as well. But then moving on to the second point, if 2026 is a future before us of unknown uncertainties, for all believers here this morning, on our way to the promised land, on our way to heaven, we can be certain that there is a future of known certainties, things we can absolutely count on. And again, I'll cite Pastor Winslow. But there's another thought, inexpressibly soothing, untried, untrodden, and unknown as that new path may be. It's each step is mapped and arranged and provided for in the everlasting and unchangeable covenant of God. To him who leads us, who accepts us in the Son of his love, who knows the end from the beginning, it is no new or uncertain or hidden way. And while he wisely and kindly veils all the future from our reach, all that future, its minutest event, is as transparent and visible to him as the past. Our shepherd knows the windings along which he skillfully, gently, and safely leads his flock. Oh, it is a thought replete with strong consolation and well calculated to gird us for the coming year. The Lord knows and has ordained each step of the untrodden path upon which I'm about to enter. Because see, for all those unknown uncertainties, 2026 is a year in which there are many known certainties. Let me just go through some of those with you. List some of those known certainties we can count on in this new year. Think about this. According to God's word, every day of this new year will dawn with its new mercies from the Lord. Yesterday dawned. Today dawned. The Lord willing, tomorrow will dawn. The Lord willing, Tuesday will dawn. And every single one of these new days in the new year would dawn with the new mercies of the Lord. Here, Lamentations 3:22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, plural. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every new day of this new year will have its God-provided strength. Hear this never-failing promise to God's people from Deuteronomy 33:25. And as your days, Not your weeks, not your months, not just when your birthday rolls around, as your days in this new year, so shall your strength be. Grab a hymn book if you would. We're not going to sing, but just grab your hymn book if you would and turn to hymn number 69. It just spells this out for us so well, this truth of our days, as our days are, so will our strength be. Hymn 69. I'm just going to read through the lyrics of this great hymn. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Hymn 69. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure, gives unto each day what he deems best, lovingly, as part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. A prayer. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. There's a lot of unknown uncertainties in 2026. But yes, according to the word of God, you really will be able. You really will be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The diagnosis, the chemo, the trials, the tests, the difficulties. As your days, your strength will be, and you really will be able, as God's child, to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Here's another known certainty. Blessed known certainty. Every step of this new year is already sovereignly measured out and mapped out for your good. Romans 8:28, that familiar verse we all know and love. Romans 8:28. And we know. Would you say that with me, people of God? And we know. Would you say that? And we know. Simply, we know. This is not theory. And we know that for those who love God, how many things work together for good? All things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. And then in verse 29, we're given that grand purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. I don't know all that God wants to do in our lives this year, but I know the number one thing that he intends to do, that he's bound to do. And he's bound to cause every situation and circumstance and relationship and location in your life to work together for your good, that you might be more like his son, Jesus. Amen. So as you think about 2026, hear this little quip by Paul Tripp, where he says, in 2026, reflect on how little is under your control. But celebrate that your Lord controls all of it for his glory and for your good. every necessity. Every necessity of this new year will be graciously and adequately provided for you. That's what that golden pot of manna reminded the people of God as they were being led into the promised land. It was like there was a time where we didn't have what was needed to sustain life, and God gave it to us, and he gave it to us, and he gave it to us. And so every necessity of this new year will be graciously and adequately provided for you. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then there's Psalm 23. That you can say as you walk into every day of this new year. The sovereign, loving, caring God of heaven and earth is my shepherd. And how much shall I lack? Nothing. I shall not lack. I shall not want. What about this? Every event in this new year is known and anticipated by God. Hear these powerful verses from Isaiah chapter 46, where God says, remember the former things of old, for I am God. That settles it right there. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God. In case we didn't get it the first time, he says it again. I am God. As I was praying about this message, one of the prayers that I was praying to the Lord about this message was this. I was praying, Lord, oh Lord, help us as your people to see your godness. Not just your goodness. Help us to see your godness. For I am God. There's no other. I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, like things not yet done in 2026. Saying, my counsel will stand and I will accomplish all my purposes. Beloved, we don't know what lies before us. We can't know what lies before us. And that's actually a blessing from the Lord. But we know that God knows what lies before us. We know that God can't not know what is before us. That's what he means when he says, I am God, declaring the end from the beginning, declaring things from ancient times that have not yet come to pass. In the words of the late R.C. Sproul, he's the God that we can trust, for whom there is not a single maverick molecule in the universe. What about this? Every perplexity in this new year, every perplexity will have its guidance. Our brother Nate led us into Psalm 119 earlier, but Psalm 119, 105 reminds us, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a light to my path. It is that. So here's a little goal I would challenge you with this year in 2026. Call it a resolution if you'd like. But it's just a little goal of growing to be that Psalm 1 kind of person where in every horizontal circumstance you face this life, this year, every horizontal circumstance you face, whatever it might be, I want to encourage us to challenge and to think about those horizontal circumstances and where those horizontal circumstances are intersected by the vertical word of God. So is it a fear or a worry in that horizontal circumstance? Then where does the vertical word of God immediately intersect that circumstance? Is it a loss? Loss of something precious, dear to you? In your horizontal, then where does the vertical word of God, at what point does the vertical word of God intersect that horizontal circumstance and give you light in that moment, in that circumstance? You don't have to walk around, so you don't have to walk around in darkness this year. You don't have to. We don't have to walk around in clouds and confusion. Because whatever that horizontal circumstance is in your life, there's going to be a truth in the Word of God that's going to intersect that, right? At that point, God's going to shed light so that every perplexity this new year will have its guidance. Is it disease? Is it a windfall of blessing? How does God's Word intersect that moment and give you direction? Again, this is what that idea of having the law of God in that chest was all about, reminding him, God has spoken to us. God is directing us. He's not silent. He's leading us. And that Psalm 1 person, whether in David's day or our day, is that blessed person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he's like a tree, she's like a tree, planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does prospers. In this new year, every temptation, and by that I mean we're going to face new ones, but every temptation, every test, every trial in this new year will have its escape. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 10, 13 and 14. In 1 Corinthians 10, 13 and 14, has at least five powerful embedded encouragements in the verse. I'll try to point them out to you, but let me read it first of all. No temptation or test or trial, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Sort of five built-in encouragements there. And this year, you're going to experience temptations and trials. You can count on that. But here's the first thing. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Look, you're unique. God made you, and God made one of you and not two, as our children used to sing in a little children's song. You are unique. But you're not going to face any unique trials this year. There'll be no need for you to say, "Woe is me! Why so many troubles for me? Why are things so hard for me?" No, Abraham experienced those kind of things. Moses experienced those kinds of things. All the prophets in the Old Testament experienced those kinds of things. Every single one of the disciples, the apostles, experienced those kinds of things. Every Christian since Christ has ascended to the throne has experienced. No temptation are you going to experience that is not common to man. We've all experienced the temptations that we're going to experience in a broken, sinful, fallen world. It doesn't matter what stripe or color they take. That's the first thing that's so encouraging. Second thing, no temptation is going to take you over that's not common to man. But secondly, God is faithful. Thirdly, and God will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He knows your frame. He knows who you are. He knows where you live. He knows your circumstances. He knows where he needs to apply the pressure to help you to grow in Christ likeness. He knows where to shave off and where to build up and encourage. He knows those things, and he's not going to allow you to be tested or tried beyond your ability. Thirdly or fourthly, but with that temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be endured. Will there be tests this year? Yes. But you can rest assured, here's a known certainty. There will be tests. But there will be the ability to endure and to pass through and to move on to the next test, to the next blessing. Every sorrow in this new year will have its sanctifying comfort. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope now and in heaven forever. And so 2026, yes, untried, untrodden, unknown. We have not passed this way before. To the people of Israel, God had made great and very precious promises that were to bolster their confidence on their way to the promised land. They were instructed to keep their eyes fixed on the Ark of the Covenant that symbolized for them the presence and the promises and the provisions of God Almighty on their behalf. And of course, for us, the Ark of the Covenant is a powerfully poignant picture of Christ himself. In Christ, the Godhead dwells bodily. In Christ, all the promises of God are yes and amen. In Christ, our redemption is fully accomplished. And in Christ, our future is secure. Here's how Peter said it in 2 Peter chapter 1. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, to our own promised land in heaven, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Yes, God gave to the people of Israel very great and precious promises as they were entering into their promised land. How much greater, how much precious are his promises to us as he takes us to his glory. As they looked at the Ark of the Covenant to move forward, we're reminded in Hebrews 12 that we are to look unto Jesus and move forward, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, in whom we have all the promises and provisions of God for this year and forever. Then I'll close with this quote from Andre Sue, in which she says, this being true, I can then move forward with a spiritual commodity that is more true to the real world than certainty. I can move forward with confidence. Confidence that God loves me. Confidence that God cares for me. Confidence that God knows all about me. Confident that God guides me. Confident that God provides for me in Christ. Today, this new year, and forever. May God bless the preaching of his word. Lord, help us to see what we see. Help us to hear what we hear. And to move into this new year as many days of it you give to us in a confident faith that rests in you, honors you, glorifies you, and follows you faithfully. Pray, oh Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.